us go to the Word of God. The Word comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 13, which simply says, "Already you have all that you want. Already you have become rich. You have begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish that you really had begun to reign so that we also might reign with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to the angels, as well as to human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. The word of God for the people of God." Now, think about it. It's kind of tough to say thanks be to God to a passage like that. But the thing that has often given me the biggest headache in my life is in this room. It's something that, you know, it's not too big. It's kind of small, but has a lot of importance. Go ahead. Ask me, what is it?
What is it?
I'm so glad y'all asked. It's actually my keys. Isn't losing something valuable like your keys the most annoying thing ever? It's like our minds go crazy. We get those thoughts, okay, where did I place them? Did I even bring them inside the house? Then we get frustrated. We get to that one stance and we're like, okay, we take a deep breath. Take a deep breath with me right now. Inhale, exhale. And what do we say? We say, "Let me retrace my steps." We do this, regroup, and we begin our search. We begin with everything at eye level. We look at the counters. We look at the hook where we told ourselves we will place our keys, but yet we never do it. Yeah. So the search is on, and so is our headaches. Speaking of headaches, that is what the Church of Corinth gave Paul. These people got saved, they came into relationship with Christ, and they got to fill in themselves. I know you guys thought it started with brother and sister so-and-so in the church, but no, there's nothing new under the sun. A self-righteous spirit was also back in that time. These people, after Paul and Apollos witnessed to them and led them to Christ, the people of Corinth began to recognize their gifts. They recognized their talents, they were on the come up, and they found themselves having more than their teachers, their leaders. Yeah, they were blessed and highly favored, and as I was reading this passage, I began to think of something called a testimony service. For those of you that don't know, a testimony service, something that was and still is pretty popular in African American churches, I'm not sure about other cultures, but basically it's like the prayers of the people, but just joys, you know. So we'll start with a song, break the music, and somebody will testify about how good God has been to them. And so I started thinking, what would a testimony service look like in the Church of Corinth? And so I ask that you just indulge with me a little bit, and let's travel back in time to possibly what they were saying then. First, it would be something like giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. See, y'all know it. Y'all know it. I'm debt free. I'm living on top of the world. God is good, y'all. I'm so glad I found God. Check out my new outfit. Check out my new home. I'm so grateful for God. God using me and letting me be smart enough, wise enough, handsome enough to do all of this. And can't you see God is moving? I mean, God is truly using me and my church. You guys, we feed the homeless. We witness to the prisoners. God is good, y'all. We take care of the children, too. The Church of Corinth could really testify your ears off. And ironically, in this passage, Paul is affirming what they're saying. In this letter, Paul exclaims that the people of Corinth already have what they want. Already they have become rich. They have achieved what Paul and Apollos have not. Paul says it seems like the people of Corinth are at the front of the procession of war, like the victors of war with all of the riches and the spoils. And he and Apollos are at the back, like they're prisoners, like they've been condemned to die in the arena, a spectacle marked for death. Isn't it crazy how the top at the front of the procession is where all the glory and where the party is at, and in the back of the line is where you want nothing to do with? I'll tell you what I didn't want anything to do with. That is losing my keys. So back to my keys. I searched for my keys. I searched and the anxiety is building. I've checked every room. I went to my car. Finally, you know how we do. We'll be like, okay, I'm going to get down on the floor and check under the bed. You get down on the floor. You check under the bed. You get frustrated because you put all that energy into getting on the floor and the keys were not there. So you get up. You take another deep breath. Inhale with me more one time. Exhale. And then you have that moment where it's like, could it be there? It might be there, but I'm not going to check there. And then we go into this stage called paranoia. You start checking places where you know these keys could not possibly be. For me, like, I'll go check a coat pocket, and it'll be like, maybe these keys are there. And it'll be like, Richard, you're in Las Vegas. It's 100 degrees outside. It's in the middle of July. You haven't touched the coat in months, but yet I'll go and search it. We get into that stage of paranoia. It's like we've officially lost our minds. And we would say the same thing about Paul. This man has heard these testimonies and he's affirming it? I can hear y'all now. On this side, it's like, Paul lost his mind. Over here, I hear y'all saying the man is insane and he is not fit to lead. It kind of sounds familiar. So actually, matter of fact, I know you guys would say that because y'all have been saying it since the last election. So those words are already on your tongue. But Paul didn't care. He continued to give some alternative facts mixed in with some real. Paul continues by saying he is weak, whereas they are strong. He is dishonored and they are honored. He goes hungry, thirsty, homeless, and brutally treated. Paul tells the Corinthians that they are right. The glory in their lives is not what he has in his. Matter of fact, their lifestyles are different. He works hard with his hands, and the Corinthians don't because they don't believe in manual labor. Their slaves do that. He and the other leaders are persecuted and cursed and slandered for the work that they have been called to do. They are treated like garbage. The ones doing the true work are treated like garbage, and the ones wrapped up in themselves are treated like royalty. And this sounds okay to you, Corinthians? Does this seem okay to you, University Church of 2018? Dishonored, brutally treated while working hard. While working hard, treated like property that has lost its value, treated like garbage. During Women's History Month, as we have highlighted women during this service, I would be wrong to mention that women are often, I would be wrong to not mention that women often find themselves in this space. I'm reminded of a discussion that we recently had in one of my classes dealing with Black theology and Black heritage. And in this book, in this class, we read a book by James Cone called Black Theology and Black Power. In this book, it's interesting because he brings all these arguments, but James Cone says something along the lines of, if you oppress someone else, if you are oppressing Black people, you are not a Christian. And so an argument came up, a response, and it went something along the lines of this. If people that oppress Black people are not Christian, then what does that mean for Black men who oppress Black women? Black women who have been active in the civil rights movement. This is around 1958, 1959. Black women who have been active, who have been on the front lines with you, while doing all of that and still taking care of home, doing all of these things, and you come down on them. You treat them like they're less than anything. What does that mean for you, black man? Are you a Christian? Women who have worked hard and contributed to society in more ways than we count have often still not been respected or given the honor that they are due. Women like national heroes like Rosa Parks and Harriet Tubman, but we don't even have to deal with the national icons. We can deal with people by looking in this room. There are people in this room, women that are civil rights activists, doctors, lawyers, professionals, creative minds that have come and fought for their communities while even fighting for their homes, but yet they are dishonored, brutally treated while working hard. And while working hard, they have been treated like property that has lost its value. They are treated like garbage. Is that okay? No, it is not. And Paul let the Corinthians know that the way that they were viewing him was wrong. When I first read this text, I wrestled with it. And then I came to find out that Paul had a gift of sarcasm. Verse 9 begins with the words, "For it seems." How quickly we forget that "it seems" does not mean "it is." Paul did not write to glorify the Corinthians, but to tell them that it's not what it seems. Paul has sarcastically been telling them, you know what, you're right. You are living in the glory, but the source of your glory is yourselves. And because you are living in self-glorification, you can't truly see God. You can't see past your own glory. The true glory is not found where you're finding it, but it is found in the lifestyle of your leaders. The true glory is not found in the riches and in the high statuses of this world, but it is found in suffering, serving, and enduring. And so finally, I went to where I didn't want to go to find my keys. Yes, back to my keys. I can't let it go. It bothered me because I was like, there's no way that something so valuable could be in such an inglorious place. And so I searched, and I went, and I checked the garbage. That is where I found my keys. Something so valuable, something so precious to me, was found in the garbage. That is where we find the glory of God. In the garbage. The glory of God not only shines up, but you guys, it reaches down. And so as Paul told the people of Corinth, I'm telling you guys today that if you want to see the true glory of God, you better go to the garbage. By working with your hands, you will feel God's glory. By enduring and suffering, you will see God's glory. By blessing those that curse you, you will experience God's glory. By being a fool for Christ, working with the homeless, fighting for the marginalized, and having conversations with the other, you will experience God's glory. For all of those who are and who have been oppressed, God is with you. For all of the women who are and have been dishonored, treated like garbage, God is on your side. And I'm so glad that God's glory not only shines up, but that it reaches down. It reaches down and it brings peace, joy, love, healing, miracles, and freedom. God's glory isn't like us. It's not afraid to get in a messy situation. And I'm glad that it's not, because, y'all, that is where God met me. Did God meet you there? Has God ever met you in a messy situation? Y'all, God has met us in the garbage. We were deeply stained. We were sinking in our garbage to rise no more. But God's glory reached in our mess, the mess of addiction, The mess of ignorance, the mess of abuse, selfishness, sexism, racism, mess that we created ourselves, and mess that we were victims to, God reached in the garbage. Thank you, God. And I'm so grateful that God not only reached there, but God took the time to pull us out. And for some of us, like the Church of Corinth, God's glory has came and pulled us out time and time and time and time again. God is a master of the garbage. If you don't believe me, as I close, I never thought I would say that, but as I close, let me end with one story. As we talk about women, there once was a woman named Mary. Mary. Y'all know Mary. Not Proud Mary, but Mary. Mary, pregnant with the child of God. While about that time, Ramona's almost your time. We praying. But about that time to give birth in Bethlehem, her and Joseph, ready to deliver the child of God. They go, y'all know the story. They go to the inn, there's no room at the inn. The JW Marriott of Bethlehem had no rooms. Holiday Inn said, it ain't a holiday yet, you out of luck. And so they go to a manger, and that's where the child of God is born. And we have a thing about making that seem so beautiful. You know, we sing, away in a manger. We do all that, make it sound so beautiful. But a manger filled with hay and water for livestock, surrounded by scraps of hay, animal feces. Our Savior, our Lord, was not born in a glorious place. But Jesus was born in the garbage, in the junk. And after being born, Jesus' work did not stay. It did not go to the high places. No, it still stayed there. And it dealt with people that are treated like garbage, people that live in garbage. And so that is what we are called to do, to follow the example of Christ. And if we want to truly see the true glory of God, y'all, we have to go to the garbage. Amen. Amen. At this time, let us pray. God, we thank you for this time, this opportunity. Forgive us, God, for not being humble enough to see where you are. This spirit of community, of social justice that you have imparted in this ministry, in this church, in this family, I ask that you continue, oh God, to move. Continue to give us direction, to show us where to go. Never let us get wrapped up in ourselves, but let us always take the time to speak to others. Others that are less fortunate, others that are treated like garbage, like junk. God, we ask that you forgive us right now for the times that we have treated others like junk, times we've spoken to others like they are garbage. They are still your children. They are still precious in your sight. So, God, we ask that you just touch us right now, lead us and guide us, and let us always find your glory as we do your work for your kingdom, but also in the garbage. Amen.